Wrestling Daft presents The Daft Sheet. You know, they say that all wrestling podcasts are created equal, but you look at the Daft Sheet and you look at some other scrub shows and you can see that that statement is not true. See, normally if you go one-on-one with another wrestling podcast, you get a 50-50 chance of winning. But we, the Daft Sheet, we're genetic freaks and we're no normal. So you get a 25% at best at beating us. Then you add the main wrestling Daft show to the mix, your chances of winning drastically go down. See, you've got a 33 1/3 chance of winning. But we've got a 66 2/3 chance of winning because we're in cahoots with Ab and Grado and John and they're not even going to try. So other wrestling podcasts, you take your 33 1/3 chance minus our 25% chance and you've got an 8 1/3 chance of beating us. But then you take my 75% chance of winning if we was to go one-on-one and then add 66 2/3%, I've got 141 2/3 chance of winning. The numbers don't lie and they spell disaster for you if you don't listen to this week's episode of The Daft Sheet. Folks, welcome to episode 3 of The Daft Sheet. Thank you to Scott Steiner for his inspiration for this week's introduction. I am joined by Craig DL.
Good evening. How are we doing?
No bad. And Stephen Loach.
Evening. That was a superb intro. Was that rehearsed?
It was scripted. It was scripted.
It was off the cuff. You made it up on the spot.
Come on.
On the spot. I was trying to think of something to equal the Holly Willoughby intro from last week, and my brain is still somewhere in parts of Berlin from the stag do I was on at the weekend, so I couldn't come up with anything particularly original, but I thought that would be a good way of coming in to celebrate the fact that we're coming back for the third episode of the Daft Sheet. For all intents and purposes, as far as I'm aware, we're still getting a decent listenership. Nice. John hasn't turned around and told us to get to fuck as yet. So,
still plenty of time.
We're at the Hogan Andre portion of the podcast. So this is the big one. This is the Pontiac.
The slam heard around the pod, wow. Heard around the world.
Was it the pilot or the first episode where we were talking about Joseph Fritzl? Last week we were talking about Savile and Philip Schofield, I think. So, this could be the one that does us. But if you're new to listening or if you have listened before, here is the usual pattern. So I play editor of the Daft Sheet. My name is Chris Jack, for those of you that don't know. And Stephen and Craig here are going to compete to see who can fill the front page, the back page, the tele pages of the Daft Sheet as well. And in lieu of not having a horoscope like we did last week or a Dear Dafty like the week before, we're going to have a game of wrestling Wordle, which might prove to be the tiebreaker to see who basically wins this week's Daft Sheet. We also have an interview as part of this week's show again in the centrefold. And this week I have spoken with the sweetheart that is Mr. Tom Campbell from Cultaholic. So if you can't be bothered with our pish, just skip forward to about 20 minutes in and you'll hear a lovely chat with Tom about everything that he does at Cultaholic. But we will get cracking on as we look to fill the front page of this week's Daft Sheet. And I am going to come to you first, Stephen Loach. Stephen, what is your pick to be the front page of this week's Daft Sheet?
Oh, it's got to be easily the best match of last week. Orange Cassidy versus Swerve Strickland from AEW Dynamite for the AEW International Championship.
Great. Is this your front page match or back page, Steve?
Oh, sorry. Bloody read it the wrong way around. Apologies.
Come on, we've got a format to keep to, Steve. We've got a format to keep to here.
Deduct a point.
Because I was too eager to talk about the match. No, apologies. It is actually the new WWE Women's World Championship awarded to Rhea Ripley. She's already the champion, but get provided to Rhea Ripley. It's an absolute beezer of a title. It is essentially just the men's title, the one that Rollins holds, with a white belt instead of the black, but somehow looks better. An absolute belter. And I like that the women are finally getting a distinction of their belts, because I think Reyes is known as the World Championship and Asuka's is just the WWE Women's Championship. I never liked how one was the Raw's Women's Championship and the SmackDown Women's Championship, it cheapened it in some way. It made it feel less than what the men's were. The men's had stronger titles. They were just known as the World Championship or the Universal Championship. Now the women are finally getting that kind of equal billing. And also, because they're now distinctly different looking belts as well, that makes it a great touch as well.
It's certainly been, you know, a time. I think the marketing guys at WWE, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. They're making a lot of money and getting new belts off the conveyor belt and out on the WWE shop and whatnot. It's a good time for them just now. And off the back of, you know, Roman's new belt, Seth's new belt, it just makes sense, really, that the women are going to get a portion of that as well. I mean, do you think it was something that was... I know you've said that, you know, they look a lot better than the previous incarnations and whatnot, but do you think, Steve, it was something that was necessary at this point?
I think so, yeah. I think they needed to get away from that, the show branding, and start... pushing the women's titles more to mean something. Like I said, I never really liked the Raw Women's Championship and the SmackDown Women's Championship. It felt very convoluted. It diluted it in some way. And also, it didn't really matter because whenever they were doing the draft, the women's champion always seemed to change. So they would just swap belts, and that cheapened it as well. So now we've got a distinction. You've mentioned as well, like the merchandising, and it's a good way of punting more belts out. I'm not against that either. I think that's good. I think that they've obviously got to keep their toy makers and all that happy, their retailers happy. So they need to get more stuff punted out there to do it more. So it makes good business sense as well. And I think as well, it's good for Rhea Ripley as well that she gets to be the first holder of that incarnation of the belt. It's something that really will help her legacy further down the line as well.
Yeah, I think one of the belts is going to be carrying the Raw legacy, and one I think is the SmackDown legacy on the other, although they're not going to be specifically called that by name. Do you think that there's anything different that the powers that be at WWE are going to do now with the tag belts? You know, are they going to, you know, does it still make sense for Owens and Zayn to be carrying around the blue and the red belts now that the other ones have gone?
Not really, and I really want them to do some of the tag belts in quick because I've never liked them. They've looked very plain looking.
Bring back the old belts, that's what they should do. Old 90s, you know, like you remember like the Nasty Boys and all those kind of well, that they kind of belts.
You always see that in like Facebook posts, like what was your favourite WWE title belt, and the old tag belt, the golden era tag belt's one that's always pops up with hardcore fans. Another one I loved was the NXT UK tag belt. That was an absolute beauty. I wanted to bring something like that up.
There's certainly a whole host of ones you can browse on WWE shop. And now there's a few guys I know from over here in Belfast that are big belt collectors, and you know, they're not shy of bringing them to local wrestling shows, because I think some of them genuinely do believe that if you do turn up at a live wrestling show with a belt, you get a shot at defending it. But it's very rare that I think anyone would actually step up to the challenge with that. It's still the a lot of them. And again, you know, it's just like, I know, you know, I've had conversations with you guys in different podcasts before about, you know, the green t-shirt guy that goes to all the wrestling shows and stuff, whatever they are. You know, you must have some amount of, you know, disposable income to be coming in to be purchasing all these new belts.
Right.
That propensity as well. You know, there's been a couple of things I've seen in TikTok this week and on Instagram of, you know, toy collectors and whatnot, and seeing the amount of money that they spend on the wee man caves that are kitted out. There was a boy who bought the new Ric Flair belt, and it comes in like a massive diamond-shaped box, and you get a replica WrestleMania 27 robe with it and all that. And like, he never said how much he spent on it, but it's a massive thing for the I was going to say the collectordom. Is that what you call it?
I'll give you an answer. He gave an arm and a leg. That's what he gave.
If you, I need to cut one of the sleeves off the robe. I was just going to say, because like, he might have cost an arm and a leg, but I know that if I turned up with that to the house to say, look at what I got, I'd be missing my balls because my wife would just put them right out of my side. I'd be well gone for spending that kind of money. Do you know what I mean? What would Elaine do to you, Chris, if you turned up and said, yeah, good news, I've just bought this?
I'd be at the door. I'd be at the door. I'd have a nice big robe.
You'd have a nice big robe to keep you warm in the streets, but
that's it. And the size of the box that Flair one came in, I could probably live in it for a wee while as well. So yeah, that's a good opening gambit there for me, Steve, for the new women's title belts being on the front page. But Craig, can your story best that?
I don't know whether best it. It's probably going to bring the mood down a wee bit, you know what I mean? Because we started off in high spirits, and I'm just going to turn around and say that, you know,
usually I'm the negative one.
I think that the biggest bit of news this week was obviously, in my opinion, was the Iron Sheik passing away. Legitimate tough guy. I think he left a bit of a mark on wrestling, not only in the ring, but in his latter years, he was just an absolute menace on Twitter, wasn't he? Like, he would just come out, you could tell when he'd had a few bevvies, because he was like, all right, here we go, and he started calling people out, and he started saying stuff that, you know, was very, very controversial, and he made wild claims about himself, and he provided a lot of entertainment outside of the ring with his rants. But I had a wee look back at his career, because obviously you get the statements coming out about what he did and stuff like that. And, you know, when you actually look back at it, if there was no Iron Sheik, there was no Hulk Hogan, and there was no Hulkamania.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's no underestimating the actual impact that he had. You know, like, when we were getting into wrestling and we were growing up, all he was just this, you know, he was a madcap foreigner playing up to the sort of stereotypes with the Colonel and Sergeant Slaughter, and he wore the daft pointy shoes to the ring. That's all he was. Do you know what I mean? That's all we would view him as. But when you go a wee bit further back and you realise that, you know, he eventually ended Bob Backlund's reign as WWF champion.
Yeah.
And if he then reigned for a year, and if he didn't do that, we wouldn't have got to fight Hogan, which wouldn't have gave birth to Hulkamania, which was a massive pivotal point in that era. So, yeah, like... I noticed that he won the first ever Battle Royale as well at Madison Square mm-hmm. Garden. Didn't know that. And yeah, you know, like, winning the belt, he's still the only sort of Iranian person to win the belt to this day, to win the WWF belt. And then in more recent times, you know, the WrestleMania 17 gimmick Battle Royale, where he took about 10 years to walk to the ring because he was fucked. I think it's a medical term for it.
It was the famous Bobby Heenan line. He'll still be making his entrance at WrestleMania 37. And I think it was either WrestleMania 37 or the Raw after, where they actually had him backstage as well, just for that wee Easter egg.
Just for the crack, aye.
And you know, they had to book him to win it, because his knees were so done in, he couldn't manoeuvre to go over the top rope, so they had to book him to win the Battle Royale.
Brilliant. That's like, but I mean, he's probably came in with his sort of personality and been like, there is no way the Sheik loses, Bubba. Get me booked to win this, you know.
That's so
like,
for me, Bubba.
Yeah, but like, look, he won the Battle Royale, and see, when you go back and watch it, which I did, I went back and watched it, and obviously it's an absolute clusterfuck, for want of a better word. It's just that little bit of nostalgia, which features quite heavily in my in some of my picks this week, the nostalgia aspect, because but when you watch it back, like, when he wins, he actually gets cheered by the crowd. Do you know what I mean? And he laps it up. And it's probably quite one of these quite sort of fitting things for, I'd imagine, a guy like him, where he's like, do you know what? I'm finally getting recognised. Because he did have a bit of a chip in his shoulder about, you know, the impact that he had. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't realise to the extent with the impact that he'd had, you know. So, yeah, that's my sort of front page story this week, the passing of the Iron Sheik.
Yep, and obviously we pass on our condolences to all his friends and family affected by the death of him. And I think that is, you know, as you mentioned there in the wee potty tester that you put together there, Craig, it had such a massive impact on the sort of the 80s and 90s wrestling, you know, at the height of the Gulf War and things like that. You know, it was a real heat magnet. And you can see that, you know, wrestling still hasn't deviated away from that, you know, be fearful of the foreigner kind of thing. WWE, I mean, they've done it, you know, forever since then. Most recently, you know, with the Gunther stuff. And again, they're still not very subtle with it. You know, there's ways that you can portray a foreign menace without being completely offensive. And I think WWE are starting to be a wee bit less offensive with Gunther. But they're still prone to the odd sort of Nazi propaganda stuff and whatnot. So hopefully Gunther can take a bit of inspiration from the way that the Iron Sheik was and the Iron Sheik dealt with being that foreign menace as he continues his IC title reign as well. But yeah, I think on the basis of that, I think I am going to go with Shaky Baby going on the front page. And in line with the way that I love to take to social media, the headline for this will be "Fuck the Grim Reaper Jabroni in the ass." that'll be the headline, I think, for that one.
Can I talk like one off just quickly? One off thing about Iron Sheik. To sum up what a badass he was, for 2 years he was the bodyguard of the Shah of Iran. This is a guy that had like the Mujahideen, which would later become the Taliban, chasing after him, and like. And Sheik was his main bodyguard. So, fuck the Taliban. Fuck the Mujahideen.
That's one of them stories that it's believable but unbelievable at the same time. Like like Bin Laden being an Arsenal fan. It's like one of them things. You can just imagine him at Old Highbury before they plotted 9/11. Like, move on. we will move on to the back pages where we look for the best wrestling match to adorn the top of the sports pages. I will come to you first on this one, Craig. I think I know what Steve's going to talk about. Just have a wee bit of hunch. But Craig, we'll come to you first. What's your match of the week been?
See, before I go into the match, right, like, and this is me just going out on a, this might sound a bit controversial, but I thought every single match this week was absolute fucking guff. Like, I felt as if the writers, and to some extent some of the wrestlers, had just fucking given up. They were just like, you know what? It was too hot outside. It's too hot to think about it. I'm just going to sit here and have a beer and just serve up everything and anything. Because, like, there was some matches where you were looking and thinking, these could be quite good. And when you watch them, they were like 5s and 6 out of 10s at best. So for me... The only thing that I could think of that mustered like a, you have to go back and watch this, you know, like, because you're normally having like one or two for WWE and one or two for AEW and then one or two for other sources where you can actually sit and go, oh, it's a bit close, so you have to watch this. The only one that I think that people should go back and watch is probably, as Wade Barrett called him, Austin Theory versus Prince Harry. He referred to Jey Uso as Prince Harry. he's betrayal of the bloodline.
I can't believe nobody's made that connection yet.
so like Wade Barrett called him in commentary. Like, he called him Prince Harry, but you know, I don't know what was going through his head there. But yeah, I thought that the Jey Uso versus Austin Theory match, and I think it stemmed from the promo at the start of the night that built that match, and I think that they're starting to now put the likes of Austin Theory into these main event slots to see how he handles. Similar to, like I said last week, with like Gunther against people.
Yeah.
They're putting Austin Theory in with a tried and trusted hand like Jey Uso to see how he performs, to see how the crowd reacts, to see what he can put together. And, you know, if you haven't watched it, it is a decent match, but it did a lot to sort of further the Bloodline storyline, and it reaffirmed that, you know, Roman Reigns doesn't need to be on TV every week. To draw that in, and there's so many sort of subplots, that they can utilise within that storyline. You know, the opening segment provided everybody with a cliffhanger that created anticipation, and that's what this match did as well. Because, you know, Jimmy Uso obviously attempts to save his brother, super kicks him, Austin Theory retains again, and most recently, it seems like Austin Theory is getting portrayed as this opportunistic type person. You know, and I think it's not too dissimilar to what HBK was in the 90s. And I know that's going to be sort of controversial comparing Austin Theory to Shawn Michaels, one of the greatest that ever lived. But when Shawn Michaels was the Intercontinental Champion, he was always escaping with the title. He was always capitalizing on that mistake of the opponents. Aye. Or capitalizing that opportunity. So I think that they're doing something similar with Theory to really build him up since he's been repackaged.
I mean, you look at the amount of three-ways and multi-man matches that Theory's defended his title in as well. So they're obviously trying to protect him that wee bit. And then, you know, if it's, you know, miscommunication between two other guys and he picks the bones, then it's a good way of keeping him winning, looking like a shit heel, but without you know, without taking too much heat for it as well.
Aye. And it was, do you know what, it was chaos with the finish. What was it? Patterson used to say that if you watch back the WWE 24 stuff, and the crowd will go nut. You know, like the crowd did eat up for this match. They went mental and they really enjoyed the finish, which was, you know, pretty deadly. Comes in, interferes on behalf of Theory. Jimmy Uso makes a save. Sokoa interrupts. Brawl. Jimmy nails Jay with the super kick, and Theory scores the win. But again,
I like that job, Dave Efton. You snuck in there with Jimmy Nail. I enjoyed that.
I went to see Sam Fender on Saturday night, sideway, but he was no Jimmy Nail, tell you that much. You know, I much prefer listening to Jimmy Nail over Sam Fender. But yeah, so Jay, you know, by the end of it, I guess Jay was left in that little bit of uncertainty, not sure who to trust, where he pledges his allegiance to, and it's probably setting up a really good segment coming up in the next week or two with regards to the Bloodline saga. So, yeah. The match was solid, so go back and watch it. Fans' reaction to Jey Uso suggests that we're going to get a lot of main event Jey in the future. He was calling himself the right-hand man during his promos and stuff like that. And, you know, when he finally turns on Reigns, the fans are going to have a real, real hot babyface that could potentially mirror Seth Rollins, in my opinion. I think that's going to be the wild card show of the year.
Awesome. Now, I will need to go back and watch that because I've not seen any wrestling over the weekend because I am piss poor at my job as a wrestling journalist.
Sorry, Gredo gets away with it.
I'll take that. But one match that I did see over the weekend I flew out to Berlin at Stupid O'Clock on Friday morning was, I think, the one that you're going to talk about, Steve. So if you can enlighten us as to what your pick for the back page would be.
As I've already mentioned, it's Orange Cassidy versus Swerve Strickland.
I wasn't expecting that.
No?
That just came out of the blue, that.
So it's really, really good back and forth match. Some really cool spots, and I'm just really happy for both of them because they're both guys that really are popular and were really well liked, but still all have a point to prove. But they really meshed well with each other. I really hope that we see them further down the line do it again. Now, I have got a confession, mate. I've never actually been a big Orange Cassidy guy. Early on, I never really got it. Like, people were like, super hot for this guy. Like, I get he was something new, and he presented something different, but I was kind of going, I'm not getting this. I don't really get what this guy's about. But during this title run that he's on with the international title, I'm seeing it. I know this might be a controversial statement to make. I think he's currently the best babyface wrestler in the world because he sells him brilliantly. And he makes the perfect comeback as well. And each and every time he does it, the whole crowd is on his side. There's not been an Orange Cassidy match that I can remember seeing where the crowd looks bored. Everybody's into it. Everybody's into it. I think Swerve was a great dance partner for him. They really complement each other. Swerve is one of these heels who, kind of, he doesn't need go out his way. He doesn't look for cheap heat. He just makes himself a prick in the ring, and he's got those kind of those great facial expressions, similar to what MJF does. That just makes you hate him, and it really works well.
I think what impresses me the most about the two of them is that, you know, Cassidy's been on this massive run. I think that's 24 defences he's had of the international title since winning it. He's probably due to drop it any time. Well, he could have probably dropped it any time in the last 5-6
well,
weeks.
Well, I thought right? that was going to be it because it was because Swerve kicked out of the beach break and the Superman punch. And I'm going, oh shit, I think Swerve's doing this.
Mm-hmm.
But the other great bit they've done is Orange actually cheated to retain. He held on to the tights.
Yeah.
Swerve did it first, of course, but then Orange is had to do it and he's had to pin him. So Swerve's got his own good, in a kayfabe sense, on good grounds to get a rematch. And they could also say that Orange is starting to get a bit desperate, that he's starting to kind of lose it a wee bit. He's had to kind of resort to cheating to keep a hold of it. So there's a good kind of selling point there.
There definitely is, and I think as well, you know, it's the way that they've built the Orange Cassidy character over the last week. I mean, he's held together with Sellotape and Spunk right now. Like he's fallen apart. He's injured.
Sorry,
don't know, too probably far. Chuck Taylor's maybe. but the you know he's had the back injuries, the shoulder injuries, get the hand injury, they know that kind of thing. And just like Craig was saying about Austin Theory, in terms of always finding a way to win these matches, Cassidy's doing that, but maybe to a higher standard. In that, you know, he's been crafty. I mean, you say, you know, he cheated to pull the tights, but I would say it was crafty and it worked well with the story because he'd given everything. He'd given the beach break. He'd given the Superman punch. He'd done everything that he could, and it hadn't worked. And then, just like in the Battle Royal with Swerve the other week there as well, you know, they were fighting on the apron, and instead of going for a big move, he just kicks his hand and he falls off.
Aye.
You know, just something simple, something like that. I'm a big fan of what they're doing with Orange Cassidy. But what I was going to say is, I wouldn't have been disappointed if Swerve had took the belt.
I never do.
On Wednesday, because then you've got the perfect amount of time to build a rematch at Wembley.
Mm-hmm.
For Cassidy to go over and the crowd to go tits again, because he the way that they've had him as pretty much the opener on every Dynamite for like the last 2 months,
aye.
A red hot opener at Wembley would be Orange Cassidy against whoever, whether that's, you know, whether it's Swerve, whether it's Ospreay again, whoever that is that they're going to line up for.
How many times has he fought against Swerve?
Not many.
No, I think that not was many. Their first proper one-on-one.
They might have had one about a year ago
at Rampage or something.
When is it that at Wembley again? Is it July?
August.
Late July.
August.
Do they end up doing, you know, does this what they did last Wednesday, does that start like a best of seven?
Could be
series.
But I mean,
they go back forward with your white hot opener at Wembley being their deciding one, the 3-3. Whoever wins this wins the title, and then Orange Cassidy drops the title in Wembley.
The only thing is
that is, I mean, is that your hope now?
The only thing is, surely to God, they're going to do something with Pac. And Pac dropped the title to Cassidy. And
it could be an open challenge type thing, because he's been away that long that folk have forgot. I mean, you look at like Death Triangle's not a thing anymore. That's what it's Penta Phoenix and Bandido.
No,
I didn't even realise that Pac was still going.
Right, which has it been, Neil?
I thought he'd went.
Aye,
no, it's just he's constantly get visa issues.
Aye,
like that's why you kept seeing him in Home Bargains.
Home Bargains in Gateshead's. For bins. It was the weirdest thing ever. Like looking this guy wearing a mad hoodie and a pair of glasses. I was like, that's Neville. It's like a bin in Home Bargains. What's he doing? That was when he was in his contract dispute with WWF.
Fucking hell.
Madness, man.
Well, even international superstars need places to put their empty protein bottles, I suppose. We'll move on. I think I'm going to go back page, purely because it's pretty much the only wrestling match that I saw this week. Steve, I am going to go with Orange crushes it again against Swerve with the match for the international title. So you get the back page this one, Steve. So you guys can go and powder your noses or, like myself, powder my balls with talc because it is absolutely roasting in this room.
It's the most baby-faced weather the Scottish weather's ever been.
Yep, it is absolutely roasting. Red hot, just like the chat that everyone's going to listen to here with Mr. Tom Campbell from Cultaholic, where we talk his involvement in wrestling, how he makes his living from it, how blessed he is to do so. And he's got some advice for anyone looking to get into commentary. So if anyone's listening that's, you know, maybe thinking about doing something with their local promotion to them, Tom has got some absolute belting advice. This week's guest on the centrefold for the Daft Sheet is a friend of the Wrestling Daft main show. It's Mr. Tom Campbell from Cultaholic. Tom, how are you today?
Centrefold. Wasn't that a song by the Jake Giles band? That's the one, isn't it? I like it.
Straight in with the radio knowledge right off the bat.
My blood runs cold. My memory is just... Sorry, carry on.
No, that's, I don't think we'll get done for copyright on that. I think we should be grand on that. But yeah, Tom, I have been a big fan of yours for a wee while. As I was mentioning off camera, I used to do a bit of wrestling myself. My gimmick was that I was a wannabe dirt sheet writer, and my character would be, you know, instigating, you know, gossip and innuendo amongst the locker room, that kind of thing. I had my own kind of like worked podcast. And when I was trying to develop the character, I actually spoke to Joe Hendry about it as well in another interview I was doing for something else. And he said that, you know, to find, you know, a bit of inspiration for that other than the likes of Alan Partridge and Richard Madeley for being like buffoons and stuff like that. But to, you know, if you're putting out any promos and stuff like that, the guys to model on would be yourself and a certain Mr. Miller from another parish.
I'm very flattered that my name came up. That means a lot.
Yep, and since then, you know, over the last sort of five years that I've been involved in the wrestling and getting more involved in the wrestling media side of things and whatnot, you know, watching yourself on the Cultaholic podcasts and seeing the sort of the positivity that you bring to the wrestling community in the UK at times when it's maybe not been the most positive space to be in. It's been quite refreshing to see. I mean, how do you respond to being such a sort of a beacon of positivity amongst the wrestling landscape at the minute?
It's very flattering. It really is. I think let's not get it misconstrued. I have really dark days. Let's get that straight out there. I think it's easy to assume that, oh, he's just happy all the time. I'm not. I'm a real person with real feelings. And I am very delighted, though. I am incredibly delighted that people look to me for somebody who, when they need a little bit of positive enforcement, because wrestling in general, I find, is quite... The fandom tends to be quite tribal and quite angry. And when you really break it down, and I've... Wrestling's been a part of me that's walked beside me for all my life, but when you truly break it down, it's just grown adults pretending to hit each other with soap opera storylines around it. That's all it is. And it's not worth losing friends over which wrestling company has the best t-shirt. It's not worth losing friends over, I think this wrestler's good, and if you disagree, then I'm never going to speak to you again, and I'm going to publish your address on the internet so people can throw spanners at you. It's not the way to go. It's like the world itself is so heavy at the moment. Like, we shouldn't be falling out in droves over, you know, which man pretended to hit the other man the best, which woman pretended to beat another woman the best, or whatever. We shouldn't. And wrestling, I love wrestling. And this comes from someone who loves wrestling. Absolutely loves the bones off it. It's a big part of my life. It's now, you know, but I've been blessed enough to say now it's part of my... It pays my bills for doing stuff at Cultaholic. I'm over the moon with that. But I'm always grateful when people reach out and say, like, I was in a dark place and watching Cultaholic videos and watching your videos brought me around from it. I'm very grateful for that. The one thing I do get a lot of people message me, and this is a nice opportunity to nip this sort of in the bud. I get a lot of people who message me and say, I'm in a dark place, bad things are happening, what do I do? And I will always point out, like, I'll always reach out and I go, look, I'm sorry to hear that. I'm not a therapist. I can't, you know, the man on the internet can't, you know, you can't expect the man on the internet to fix your problems, but I can absolutely point you in the direction of professional outlets that have helped me, because as I say, I have dark days too, and I've had therapy and I've gone through that process, and I can absolutely point you in the direction of somewhere to go to start the journey in the same way that I did. So your answer may not come from the man inside the computer, but if that whoever that is, whether it is Simon Miller, whether it is Ollie Davis from WrestleTalk, whether it is any of us at Cultaholic, like the fact that we can do that is a great privilege. And I'm very, very honoured to be considered a beacon of positivity. Long may that remain. Long may that remain.
Exactly. Now, you mentioned there, you know, that you're lucky enough that you know, working for Cultaholic is you're able to sort of make a living out of that and pay your bills. How does it feel, you know, being able to use wrestling, you know, something that you've grown up loving, something that you've obviously got a lot of time for? How does it feel to be making a living off of that, you know, doing a job that, you know, when you were growing up pretty much didn't exist?
Oh, it's terrible. It's awful. I mean, I'll never live out my lifelong dream of working on of painting light switches. No, it's amazing. Of course, it's amazing. I'm incredibly blessed, and it all happened. It all happened when I was doing stuff for North Wrestling, which is a promotion based in Newcastle.
Yeah.
Northwrestling.co.uk, Thunderstruck, July 15th, our biggest show ever at the Walker Dome. Go see it at northwrestling.co.uk for tickets. And it was working for them as a ring announcer that Adam Pacitti and Jack the Jobber had come along to a show, two of the shareholders for Cultaholic, and we got chatting, and I saw them a few more times after that, and there ended up being an opportunity here to come and do stuff on camera, which came at the right time because I was there were big changes being made at the radio station I used to work for, and I was being sent up the road. So it was an opportunity to find a job to bounce into another job that I loved, and also stay in an area that I love. I moved up to Newcastle in 2015 from the West Midlands, and I absolutely love the bones off of living in the Northeast. We are just mm-hmm. neighbours for yourself, and I love being up this far up the country. I love the people here, so it gave me a chance to work in an area that I love, and stay in a city that I love, which is amazing. There is a downside, and I'm not gonna. I feel bad saying this because I know that there's people who'll get cross with me for even questioning that a dream job that they want. I have a bad side to it, but there is the bad side to it is because it's a passion, because it's a hobby. I don't switch off. I am in work mode 24/7. I live on minimal sleep. If something breaks at 9 o'clock at night, chances are I will be nearby enough to be able to create some content, put out an audio podcast. It was on Thursday just gone. Wednesday just gone. Sorry, I was booked to do a radio show for Radio Newcastle, and the Iron Sheik died.
Yeah,
and yeah. It wasn't to do with the show. But the Iron Sheik passed away, a legend of wrestling, a Hall of Famer, without doubt, somebody who has very much been a part of the fabric of wrestling for years and decades, and lives, you know, and his presence very much felt through the Twitter account that was run in his name. So it was, and you realize then how much you live and breathe your job when you finish your radio show at 10 p.m., but you're still in the studio just after midnight because you've taken your laptop and you're putting together a tribute to the Iron Sheik with clips from the network that have been sourced at breakneck speed in order to bring it together for the next morning. I'm getting married next year.
Congratulations.
My fiance. Thank you. She might disagree. My fiance. bless her, she copes so much with the fact that my job isn't a 9-to-5. It isn't a straightforward 9-to-5 gig. So it does mean working random hours. But it comes because, like, I love the job that I do so much. And wrestling doesn't stop when I clock off. There's always things that are happening. And I've got a burning passion to do stuff and to make things happen, you know. And so it never stops. And the best thing I can do is for anybody that's wanting to find their way in that world is to try and get the balance right early. But to add to come back to the original question, I'm incredibly, I say lucky, but I also, I believe like I'm lucky to have been geographically where they need me to be for this job. Absolutely. Yeah. But I'm not lucky in the sense that I don't think I've earned this job, without sounding too arrogant. I think I'm quite good at what I do. And there's a lot of skills that I've taken from previous jobs that I've brought here. Like I've from a background of announcing and presenting and broadcasting. I think that I've been a handy addition to people here who love wrestling. And want to learn more about the broadcasting side of things and hitting those certain notes. So I'm very lucky to be here, but I very much work hard when I'm here as well.
Coming down to, you know, one of the other questions I was going to ask you there, you said that you got involved with Cultaholic off the back of your work with North Wrestling. For anyone that is looking to get into the sort of the commentary side of things with the like local promotions and whatnot, what would be the sort of the best advice you would pass on to them in terms of getting noticed or getting involved with the local companies?
In terms of getting noticed as a commentator, I think a lot of it comes down to not being backwards about coming forwards. A lot of people that I speak to, a lot of people who reach out to me and say, I'd like to get on in commentating. What do I need to do? I will often say the big thing is to approach companies. Don't be a shrinking violet. Don't just think that they might come up and ask you maybe on the off chance that you want to do some. Have a body of work. This can ease. If you're not a commentator currently, the best way to get a body of work is find some matches online. Maybe matches for the promotion that you want to work for and put commentary over the top of it and show it to them as to what you can offer them. Ask for advice and then learn from the advice. I've had people come to me and say, can you listen to this commentary that I've done and tell me what you think? And I won't give advice unless I'm asked to. I don't give unsolicited advice. I think sometimes people expect me to, but I don't. I don't give unsolicited advice. If someone says to me, tell me what you think of this, I'll be very honest. I see a lot of people who fall into the same pitfalls when it comes to commentary etiquette, and I will always inform them as to what they do well and what they could do better at. 90% of the emails that I get from people after I give them advice, I never hear from them again. And they never really do anything with that advice. I don't know whether sometimes there's people who just want somebody to say they're good. And I respect that. We're all, we're all human at the end of the day and we'll go through stuff. But like, if somebody wants to send me something, don't just do it thinking, oh, I want Tom to tell me I'm good. I'll give you an honest opinion. And there'll be and I guarantee there'll be stuff that you do really well. And there'll be stuff that you do not so well. I'm the same. I'm always learning. Every time I sit and do commentary, I'll always go, I did that well. I didn't do that well. It's a learning thing, but you have to then take that advice and put it into action rather than just going, I can't be bothered. That's the thing. It's all about getting that stuff. But you begin by making that stuff and getting feedback from people nearby, and then approach promotions that you like the work of. You know, ones that you maybe have stuff online which hasn't got commentary on, and offer your services there, and just take it one step at a time. You won't go, you won't get WWE knocking on your door because you upload a YouTube video. That's not how it works. You have to do a lot of the door knocking yourself. You have to do all the door knocking yourself. That will never change. You always have to thump down doors. Vader Scott is one of the most talked about commentators right now because they are currently working for so many different promotions. And the reason they're working for so many promotions is because, one, they're very, very good. And also, they're asking the questions. They're making the right sort of contacts and saying, this is what I do. Can I get involved? And that is why we are seeing more and more of Vader, because she's bloody good and she pushes herself out there. They push themselves out there. They are... they're incredible. I'm very blessed to work with Vader Scott. We're at North Wrestling. We did our first show together just last month, and I think they're fantastic. And I've always enjoyed the work of Vader Scott. And a big part of the reason that Vader's had so much success is because Vader's put herself out there more. You have to put yourself out there. I'm sorry that if you want to be a commentator and you are shy, I'm very sorry, because those two do not go hand in hand very well. If you are someone who feels uncomfortable approaching potential employers and talking about how great you are, but you want to be a commentator, I'm very sorry, because those two simply will not mash. You've got to have a little, I hear imposter syndrome. I get it. I've had it myself over the years. I've got, I'm less of that now as I'm a bit older, but certainly I have been there, but it's all got to come from you, and nobody will do it for you. I'll say it to people, if anybody that's listening that genuinely is like, I want to be a commentator and I just want someone to listen to my stuff and give me genuine advice, then email me tom.campbell@cultaholic.com. email me. Send it me. I will give you advice whether I'll give you advice that you may want to hear and may not want to hear. I will give you advice though, and then it's up to you what you do with it.
To wrap things up here, Tom, obviously this is a massive year for wrestling coming to the UK. We've got Money in the Bank next month. We've got All In the month after that as well. How busy are you going to be expecting to be in that? And are you happy enough that all that's happening this year so you can focus on your wedding next year?
It's busy. Yeah, this is busy. This is a busy time for us. It's exciting. It's an exciting time, but we've had numerous meetings now about how we are going to maximize what we do, because it's easy just to assume, oh, okay, we'll just all go to London. It's not how it works. Cultaholic has an audience that is worldwide, and all of us just going to watch a show and then coming back and talking about it just isn't going to cut it. So therefore, we've had to split the team. We've got a team that is going to London to be a part of the media presentations and the media junkets and do videos out and about and around at the O2 and Wembley for All In, for both of those. And we've got a team that are going to be based here at Cultaholic as well, because genuinely, there's a lot of stuff that we can do quicker if we're not there. Like there's videos that we put out after pay-per-views, which are recaps of the pay-per-views. And the trick is that we get those out really quick. And if we were in the arena for All Out, we wouldn't get them out as quickly. We just wouldn't. if we were off-site, we wouldn't do. So we have the team split down the middle. So it's two quite thin teams. And trying to build these two projects around a normal working week as well, which will involve at least 30 videos going up with a team of editors behind the scenes. It includes a week which includes like 11 podcasts, which will go out across our podcast feed as well. It's a week which will probably include 200, 300 articles for cultaholic.com. So we're cramming all that in around the coolest time to be a British wrestling fan, which is both WWE and AEW, doing these massive events that will be doing live reactions and predictions and video and news videos after the fact as well. So we're managing it. We're excited. But like you say, I am glad that it's all happening in the year before I get married, because I get all that out of the way. Then once it's all done, I can go, right, I can focus on the wedding. And also, you know what? It's nice to have the extra work, you know, got a wedding to pay for. So it's nice to have the extra work. Well,
that's it. That's it. Making ends meet through people battling their bodies against each other. Well, listen, Tom, absolutely. Thank you very much for chatting with me today. It's been great. I could talk to you for a whole lot longer. You mentioned your North wrestling show. When was that happening again?
North Wrestling Thunderstruck, July 15th, the Walker Dome in Newcastle upon Tyne. It is the biggest North wrestling show ever, as well as your favourites from North Wrestling. We have WWE legend Gangrel joining us, WWE legend Scotty Too Hotty joining us. We have Joey Janela challenging for the North Wrestling Ultraviolent Championship, and we are being graced by the aggressive presence of AEW's Mercedes Martinez. It is the biggest North Wrestling show ever. We reckon we can get 1,000 screaming North faithful bottoms into the Walker Dome for Thunderstruck. And we'd love for you to be a part of it. July 15th in Newcastle-upon-Tyne in the Walker Dome. Northwrestling.co.uk. Let's pack that building. Let's raise the roof. I'll see you there.
You know, I would have swore that me and Gene Okerlund stood right next to you. You know,
Put that cigarette out!
So thank you once again to Tom Campbell of Cultaholic. As you have heard them there, if you're in the Newcastle area, go and see that North wrestling show that he was talking about. It's got Scotty Too Hotty, Gangrel, and Tom himself doing commentary on it. So it could be one that's light up your street, Craig, seeing as that's fairly close to where you are. We will push on and we will look to get page 3 filled in this section of the podcast. So Stephen, I will come to you. What do you think should grace the titillating page of page 3 from the World of Wrestling News this week?
Well, I was going to talk about the possibility of WWE in negotiations with Disney. the story being that USA and Fox have now missed the window to, I think it's like to automatically renew their contracts for to be the main TV carriers for Raw, SmackDown, and the other frontline TV shows that WWE is Disney. And I know you're thinking, Jesus Christ, Disney. I mean, straight back to the full-on PG era and, you know, the kind of, you know, like peak Cena, like doing all the kid-friendly stuff. But actually, there's nothing concrete about it, this is all just hearsay, but actually, it would mainly be on the FX network in America. FX, for those that don't know, is the cable channel that is aimed to be more at adults, ideally guys our age, kind of 21 to 40.
Aye, that's what, it's always Sun in Philadelphia, airs on FX, the, all that kind of
UFC
stuff.
Used to be on that channel as well.
What a show, by the way. It's always Sun in Philadelphia.
There's also Atlanta, I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
Yes, Childish, Atlanta, yes, brilliant
show. So there's shows like that, so it's not going to be, if it were all to happen, I wouldn't worry in thinking it's a swing back to the PG, and if anything, it might go to more the M rating, so you might start seeing, it's not going to be Attitude Era stuff again. I think those days are gone, and the era
of get away with half the stuff.
Aye, in the era of woke, that's not happening again, yeah. But they might at least match what AEW is doing, do more shoot stuff, get away with a bit more swearing and, you know, kind of...
get a wee bit of edge back.
So, you know, it would be a promising thing. There's also a possibility the premium live events might go to Disney Plus, because Disney Plus has had, you know, platforms in the past where you pay a bit extra for, like, a certain event. I know they...
Yeah.
Like Hamilton, like, I think originally that came on as an added extra or something that you had to pay, so it could be stuff like that happening. It might be they just bring the whole network onto it, because Peacock, and that's what it works on with Peacock, isn't it? The whole network's on there in the States, I think
it is. I don't think they have as much of the archived stuff on it as like what we get in the UK with like the standard network subscription, because I don't think the Peacock's got the capacity to hold all that library. But I think there is like a good chunk of it that's on there. And it'd be interesting to see, like, I don't know about any of you guys, but I find Disney Plus, well, the programming on it is pretty good. The user experience of it is bollocks.
It's
pretty poor.
They do what Netflix do. They fling all the shite that they make rather than the stuff you want. You need to dig deep to actually find some good programming, good movies.
I mean, I think the best thing on Disney Plus at the moment is Bluey.
That's 100% Bluey, and it's a travesty. I've not watched that yet, that's, but it's a travesty that they never continued the Muppets show that they have, Muppets Now, it's called. It's brilliant. You know, if you are listening, and I know a lot of the guys in the Discord, I've got kids, maybe about 5, 6, 7 year old. Muppets Now on Disney Plus is cracking.
You can try that. Elodie's looking for something new to watch, because
there's enough like dad and mum friendly stuff on it, as well as like the kid stuff. It's class. It's really good.
Check it out.
But I could definitely see WWE finding its niche on Disney Plus as well. Though, you know, you look at putting them side by side with all the Marvel stuff on there. You know, you've got your intergalactic superheroes, and then you've got your wrestling superheroes.
You can
on
just
there.
See like Roman Reigns in an advert with Thor or something like that, try to punt Bush Mobile or something like that. That I mean, and Triple H and Stephanie McMahon, they've made no secrets. They want a relationship with Disney. Triple H is even on record as saying, "I want WWE to be as big a brand as Disney and Star Wars."
It just opens them up to a whole host of possibilities by joining it. So yeah, even just the global subscriber reach, you know, that you were talking about there, Chris, like getting added on as the premium live events being added on as a bolt-on. You know, like, it's just going to bring them in more revenue.
And can you imagine, like, going to Disney? Can you imagine going to Disney World in like 5 year time and going on some of the roller coaster that takes you through Roman Reigns' mouth, that big CGI thing? Because like,
an Undertaker 3D ride. I mean, like at Halloween time and all that. Like, that would be like perfect.
Rick Flair, Space Mountain.
Rick Flair, Space Mountain, Undertaker's haunted mansion, Hornswoggle's It's a Small World. what else you got there? What are the other good ones? Mizzy's Massive Balls at Epcot. That'd be a good one as well. See, here's another game we could play. Just naming like Disney affiliated.
That could be stuff. The next pun. In, that's a good show.
It could be. It could be. So that's a good shout for page three there, Steve. Craig, I'll come to you. See if you can oust it.
Yeah. Again. I felt as if the action in the ring was pretty poor this last week. There was a lot of strong storyline building outside of the ring. And one of the little things that was dropped in was on SmackDown, Paul Heyman books a US Championship match for Jey Uso in the main event, right? Jey Uso didn't actually commit as to whether or not he was going to stay in the Bloodline, right? Which was great because you didn't know what was going to happen in the match that I spoke about earlier. Watch it back and you see the way it ends, you still don't have an answer. It's building a bigger and better segment. But one of the things that happened throughout the night was a wee backstage promo by Sami Zayn, right? Now, Sami Zayn cuts this incredible promo. If Sami Zayn's just got this way, this knack, sometimes like when he speaks, if he was a wee bit more pompous, he'd have been a Damien Sandow type character, right? But he did a fantastic, fantastic promo reminding Jay that Roman Reigns has tried to put him against his own brother the same way that he's doing with Jay and Jimmy. So he was basically saying, Roman Reigns put me against my brother and Kevin Owens, and he's going to do you the same with Jay and Jimmy. He's got no loyalty. But at some point, in the past two shows where Kevin Owens has been on, and by the way, I think Kevin Owens is probably the best thing to watch in wrestling right now, with a hothead persona that he's got, where he goes in the rant. It's very Vince Vaughn-esque. Remember when Vince Vaughn says something and he goes, sorry, you guys had it? Kevin Owens is like that, except a wee bit, obviously more angry, as he's shown when he set up his match with Imperium and stuff like that. But there's been a couple of times where Sami Zayn said something and Kevin Owens is just throwing that side eye. So my bit of sort of gossip is, from what I'm seeing on these promos, is it going to be the end of the line soon for Kevin Owens and for Sami Zayn? Is that the culmination of the Bloodline storyline in terms of the Usos and Zayn and KO? Does KO turn on Zayn because Zayn's been trying to get the Usos to leave and he's been focusing too much, feels a bit left out, turns, attacks him and fucking flings him into the edge of the apron for the 900th time in his career?
I really, really hope not, because my dream ending for WrestleMania 40 is Sami winning the world title and Kevin winning the WWE title. And they do the Eddie Benoit hug at the end with the tape.
I'd love it to go on. I think
I'm glad you said hug there.
not tug. The thing when you're watching it, like, again, I think Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are two of the most entertaining people, and like, I could just watch clips of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn doing promos all day long. You know, because they've got their act now down to a T, where Sami Zayn is the reasonable, elegant, can I speak? Can I say my point? Calm down, Kevin. Mm. You know, watch after your blood pressure. And then you've got Kevin sort of blowing up. It's the vintage double act. It's like in football when you've got the tall man and the short man up front. Do you know what I mean? Sami Zayn's flicking them on. Sami Zayn's flicking them on. And Kevin Owens is just battering it in the back of the net. So that's my wee bit of gossip that I'd be watching out for over the next couple of weeks on the TV, on the promos when you've got them on. Watch the little side eyes, the little details that these two unbelievable professionals who have been doing this for years, so they know each other, they'll have the story already booked. They'll have went to Triple H and said, look, here's how we split up and here's how we do it long term. Because I do think that Triple H is a fan of the long term booking. I think that with him in charge, you're going to get a lot more sort of elongated storylines with a more satisfying payoff. you know, I'd like to think that they stay together for like the year, until next WrestleMania. But the way I see it, I reckon you'll see them maybe Royal Rumble against each other, January time.
I hope if they are going to like put them together as frenemies or however they're going to frame it, is a lot longer than that. I'm enjoying, you know, all the wee elements of it just now, and that wee bit of intrigue with Kevin getting pissed off. You know, you can eke that out for as long as you want on there. Yeah. But I just like the whole just keeping them together as long as possible is always going to be money. You know, I used to say when I was doing wrestling training and, you know, doing like tape study and stuff like that, I would love to have this kind of chemistry in the ring with anybody to the level that Kevin and Sammy have it, whether it's as pals, whether it's going against each other. You know, they've got better chemistry than some couples that I know. You know, that's how, you know, attached at the hip they've been, you know, for such a long time. And, you know, it's hard to see where their careers end apart from with each other, whether that's, you know, going out, one of them going out in the back to the other, or if they go off into the sunset together. They're an amazing team, regardless of whether they're fighting or they're together.
It's why I love them so much, and I think why wrestling fans in general love them. They are living, or they are experiencing all of our dreams. Two best pals since childhood, being tag team champions together, breaking into the business together, signing for the biggest company in the world at the same time together. And it's why, as I just said, I really, really want them to do it at WrestleMania 40. Both of them get the world titles on the same night in Philly, the hardcore wrestling town where both of them kind of cut their teeth in Ring of Honor and other promotions like that. CZW, I think Sammy had a period there as well. So, like, you know, I don't think it will happen, but look, if I had a chance to talk to Triple H, like, please do that ending, please. WrestleMania 40, a landmark WrestleMania at Philly, 20 years since the Eddie Benoit moment, which is the last time we saw something like that. Two lifelong mates fulfilling the dream together. Please let that be the WrestleMania ending.
They've talked about like there's been all sorts of theories about WrestleMania revenge and stuff like that for between KO and Sami Zayn, because like if you remember, they did the ladder match where Zack Ryder ultimately won it, and KO was the champion. But right, you know, it's an early point in the match, Sami Zayn put Kevin Owens out of action by doing a suplex off the ladder. You know what I mean? And like, Kevin Owens is one of these guys that's really, really good at doing the sort of callbacks to these sort of things. You know,
I hold a grudge.
You know, so he spent most of his time really feeling down, looking down on Sammy, you know, and like, you know, never really forgiving him on anything. So I don't know, did he do that? What I would love to see is, right, I'd love to see like if they do become a rivalry at some point in the future, I'd love, just for one match, right, let's get El Generico in there. Do you know what I mean?
I don't, it depends on his contract status, you know, because he's not been seen for a good couple of years.
He's the hottest free agent, but like, could you imagine? I mean, let's just say, for example, like they go down a feud, you know, Sami Zayn goes nuts because Kevin Owens does something, and you know, he's constantly interfering in matches to the extent where he gets removed and banned from the arena, in that old scenario that if Sami Zayn turns up this evening, he's going to get arrested, rah, 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 and he'll never wrestle, rah, rah, rah. And then Kevin Owens is having a fight against fucking El Generico, turns up, do you know what I mean? Do it on a Raw or a SmackDown. How funny would that be? Similar to when Hulk Hogan was Mr. Patriot. Do you know what I mean? Like the Patriot, it's just something like that. Just, yeah, I mean, you could go down the rabbit hole with the possibilities for the two, but yeah, back to the original point, they're going to turn at some point. I think it's going to be Kevin Owens turning on Zayn. Just watch out for the little Easter eggs, the little side eyes, the little looks, the little reviews looks. And I think it's sooner rather than later, unfortunately, that they're going to split.
Well, from Kevin Owens turning on Sami Zayn to us turning to Page 3, which is going to have on this occasion WWE possibly going to Disney. And the headline for that this week, I am going to give that A Whole New World, Wrestling Federation, Entertainment, whatever you want to call it. I'll work out the ending of that. But that, it'll be something like that. A whole new world, brackets, wrestling entertainment, is the headline. Right, so we are going to go on to the TV picks now. And now, as we know, on the DAF sheet, I'm the editor. Craig, you had given me your choice of going back and watching the run-up to SummerSlam with Cena and CM Punk, which is a great pick.
I'll go back to that
at least once a year. Oh, sorry, Money in the Bank, sorry.
Money in the Bank.
Going up to Money in the Bank. Stephen, you had mentioned Dark Side of the Ring with the Magnum TA stuff. I'm going to veto both of them. Right? Mm-hmm. And here's why, right? For weeks, since we started doing this podcast, I've been wanting somebody to talk about I Think You Should Leave with Robinson and Netflix. But nobody's brought it up. I know it's been in the Discord, on the Wrestling Daft Discord. But I watched the whole series of it last week, and the amount of wrestling, the wrestling related but not necessarily wrestling stuff in it is class. Yep. It's class. So I'm gonna overrule both of
you. Know, I'm not mad. It's a brilliant, brilliant show. Tim Robinson he's a god. He's fucking brilliant.
I spoke about Muppets Now earlier. Tim Robinson looks like if you shaved Kermit. he looks like Kermit's skeleton. Like he looks hilarious, and he's obviously a massive wrestling fan. And the fact that he brings wrestlers into so many different sketches. This particular series, season three of it, there's a great sketch that Zach Kanan is in, who, if you watch Ted Lasso, he's the Nigerian prince that tries to buy Sam Obasanya. He's in it, and he's opened this park specifically for people to propose to the better halves in it. But what he's done, and he's made the ground too spongy. So essentially, he's created the best wrestling ring in the world. So anytime anyone's trying to propose, the big moment has been interrupted by wrestlers like Toilet Truck coming in and battling fuck out of people, and to which Zach Kanan's character gets really, really distressed about it, saying he hopes that Toilet Truck dies. Is it King Larry?
Yes.
King Larry. King Larry's also the scarecrow because he saw him getting changed, and the man's got the reddest penis in the world. It looks like it's about to pop. Just so much random stuff in it. Again, if you watch I Think You Should Leave, you would get that reference as well. But not only that, there's a cracking sketch about Paying It Forward that features Arlen Stevens, better known as Damien Sandow, in it as well. And I think Brody King was in an episode in the last series of it, and there's a wee sketch on Netflix as a joke of Tim Robinson playing a wrestler who's talking about, you know, in his next match he's gonna knock fuck out his opponent, and then it's always, you know, the bell rings and it's like, what happened there? Oh, he beat me. He was the better guy. And it just keeps going on and on.
It's basically a parody of the Jumpin' Jeff Farmer promo.
No. Yep, that's exactly. I couldn't remember the boy's name there, but yeah, it's so good. And it's just like the most. Even taking the wrestling stuff out of it, the way that Tim Robinson takes all the sketches in it, you think it's going to go one way, and that, you know, he's Rowdy Roddy Piper, you know, when you think you know all the answers, he changes the question, kind of thing. That's how the sketches are. I mean, there's one in the new series. What's the one that I'm thinking of, where it's a guy's pretending to throw water at someone. Because the guy that's running the training session says that they're mortal enemies, so he keeps pretending to throw water, and then out of nowhere, this other guy comes in, throws an actual glass of water over them, and then has a mental breakdown in the middle of the class. And there's other stuff that's a lot funnier than that sounds. But yeah, if you are interested in television shows that have a bit of wrestling in them but aren't fully focused on wrestling, I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson is this week's DAF sheet. TV page, what to watch, whatever you want to call it. So I'm kiboshing the two of you. Not to discount that CM Punk against John Cena going up to Money in the Bank. It's a fantastic storyline.
Just revitalise the company out of a different era, mate. But yeah, fucking get to your TV show. Vanny.
Aye.
Let's forget the Magnum TA, the guy that was going to be the NWA's Hulk Hogan, the biggest what if in the history of professional wrestling, has just been forgotten about for a sketch show on Netflix.
Oh. No, actually, I started watching the Chris Candido and Tammy Sitch episode. I fell asleep during it because I was watching it on a bus from Dublin to Belfast at 20 past midnight on Sunday. Oof. I haven't been awake for about 36 hours.
It's a really, really tough watch, and like some of the stuff you just didn't even... Some of the stuff you obviously didn't even realise, but it's just a shame, man. Just a shame. It's the first time I've ever seen Jim Cornette become emotional outside of a wrestling ring, and that was the thing that really hit me, was that he actually genuinely cared for them. You can tell when he's talking about them.
He gave them the first break as a couple, so you can see why it would be. But yeah,
I think
he
feels responsible. I think he feels responsible.
He does, well.
Hi. I'll maybe go back and finish watching it once I'm done editing this week's episode. But again, I think you should leave, check that out, but also check out the other stuff as well. Right, so we are going to move on. Now, usually this is the point where we delve into another random part of a newspaper. And this week we're going to go to the wee quiz section and we're going to have a game of wrestling Wordle. So if you don't know what Wordle is, it's something that I find very hard to pronounce. But it's also a game where you have a five-letter word and you need to guess what it is by putting letters in boxes and stuff like that. So what I've done is I have sent both Stephen and Craig a wrestling-related Wordle. They have six attempts to get it. So what we'll do is we'll take it in turnabout. You've both got a different one, and if we need to use a tiebreaker, then I've got another one lined up. So what I want you to do is take it in turns to tell me what word you're putting in and what letters come up, and then you go on to the next one, and whoever gets it in the least amount of goes will win. So, Craig, I'll come to you first. I want you to go for your... I mean, this is brilliant audio, absolutely brilliant audio, but I want you to guess the first or the first attempt at your wrestling-related Wordle, five letters.
I mean, is it a wrestler or is it...
So it's something wrestling related. It could be a wrestling name, it could be a move, it could be a bit of wrestling terminology. It could be anything, any bit of paraphernalia to do with wrestling.
Right. I'm going for shoot. S-H-O-O-T. Enter. Fuck's sake. I've got one orange O.
An orange O. So that means that you've got an O in it.
Bars out.
Yep. Oh, so nice. So the O is in there, but it's not in the space that it needs to be.
Yep.
Okay, right, Steve, on you go. Who's your one?
I'll just say Hogan. It's just not working.
Is it coming up saying word is not in the dictionary? That sometimes happens with my word thing.
I've not done again now.
So did Hogan come up in the thing, aye? Did any of the letters for Hogan fill in and let you go to the next level?
No,
but you'll need to find something else then.
If the letters are grey, it means they're not in it at all, innit?
Aye, that's what's happened. It's all grey. Aye.
Oh, it's all grey. All right, okay, cool. Oh, aye, that makes sense because I know what yours is now. Right, Craig, on to you for round two.
See, I mean, like...
So again, think, you know, wrestlers' names, wrestling moves, wrestling terminology. And these were picked at random by my daughter earlier as well. So I gave a list of them and she picked out both of them.
For doink.
Oh, that's a good guess.
Word not found in the dictionary.
Aye, because it's not that. It's not that.
Fuck's sake.
Right. I'll go Roman.
So that, Craig, I'll give you a clue at each level just to kind of speed things up a wee bit. So Craig, you have got a wrestler's name from what I remember, and Stephen, you have got a bit of wrestling paraphernalia. Right. Sure, you're working with an audio medium, so I'll just be full. Okay, it could be. And so Steve, you got nothing in your... Stephen gets nothing in his first go. So five letter words associated with wrestling. And in fact, I'll give you another clue, Steve. It's something that we have spoken about previously in the podcast as well. What are you looking up, Craig?
What are we talking about before?
Let me spell something. So I've went, my next guess was Roman.
Okay. So you've got three of the letters of a wrestler's name, and those letters are O, M, and A.
A.
You get any guesses yet, Steve, for yours?
I'm struggling badly here.
I'll give you another clue then, Steve. It was one of your picks for one of the pages. We spoke about that kind of thing. Five letter word.
This is a pilot of the. I've got a memory of goldfish.
While you're still stewing over that, Craig, you have your next guess here, if you can. You've got an O, an M, and an A. And it's a wrestler's name. I'll give you a clue. I'll go one further. It's a current wrestler's surname. And where the letters are, they aren't in the right spaces place that they need to be. But I'll let you in that they are in the right order. Kind of. I'd be only to think these things through a little bit better.
They're in the right order, but they're completely not.
What are we doing?
No, they are like the ones you've got are in the right order. There's just another couple of letters in between some of them.
I was going to say Omas, but it's not.
You're on the right level. I thought you were going to say it there. I'll go further just to kind of speed this up a wee bit. He's not a WWE wrestler. And Steve, with yours, they're shiny and new.
So yeah, I put belts there.
Right. Belts, very close to belts. You should have a few letters in there. Yours is part of the elite. Okay. Steven, what did you get, Steve?
Omega.
So how many of those did you down on you, Steve?
Five.
So you get title in five. Craig, how many did you get Omega in?
Four.
Four. Craig.
Shoot, doink, jeez. Roman, Omega.
And a lot of clues in there. And what were your guesses, Steve?
Hogan, Roman, women. Because I thought maybe we were talking about the women's title. And then belts, because you said something shiny. Obviously, belts. And then it gave me ELT, so title.
Good. But, Craig, you got there marginally quicker with your four. So you win that round there of Wordle, which we're not going to do it again, because that was painful. I'm not going to lie. And apologies to the listeners. I need to rethink what my games are going to be. At least it wasn't a Sudoku. It wasn't you know, anything, you know, numerical that we had to go through on it. But we got there in the end. So Craig, you take the quiz page in this week's Daft Cheat. So after that anticlimactic ending to the podcast, we will run back through the headlines that were made. So for the front page, the death of the Iron Sheik gave us fuck the Grim Reaper jabroni in the ass, which went to Craig DL. The back page went to Stephen Roach's favourite match of the week, which was Orange Cassidy against Swerve Strickland, which we had as Orange crushes Swerve to retain international title. The page three, that went to WWE going to Disney Plus potentially, which was a whole new world wrestling entertainment. And the television pages, as I say, I kiboshed that and went with I Think You Should Leave. But taking the final round of questioning with the awful, awful game of Wordle was Craig DL. So it's been a mixed bag of a daft sheet this week. But thank you for listening anyway. I have been Chris Jack. Stephen Loesch has been Stephen Loesch. Craig Dale has been Craig Dale, but it looks like he has been cut off on the internet. Thanks again to Tom Campbell for listening. You know, if you've managed to get this far and you've enjoyed it, like and subscribe to us on whatever networks you're listening on. Sign up to the Patreon so you can get into the Discord and you can give me abuse in there as to what you think of the podcast. And however you enjoy your wrestling in the next week, make sure that's daft. Make sure that's sheety.
Up the road.